Morning, and welcome to the Middle East 2014 Chapel. After a semester away, we have tons of experiences and lots of stories that we could share, but today we're only going to be sharing a few of the highlights. We started in Egypt and went through Jordan, Palestine, Israel, Greece, and then finally, Italy. While we were in Israel, one of our favorite parts of the week was the synagogue service, and in particular, a simple round that we're going to teach you now. This round is called Kol HaNeshama, and it's based on a scripture that says, and is what the words mean, let every breathing thing God's praises sing. So the words you're going to see up here in Hebrew, and we're going to sing through it once as a group, and then ask you to join us once, and then we're going to break into a round with this half starting, and then Chris will bring in the other half. It's interactive. Okay. And feel free to just sing a simple ooh if you don't feel like trying to figure out the Hebrew. We realize that can be kind of difficult.
Thank you. It's difficult to unite all our experiences we've had over our travels under one presentation or one theme or one neat little summative statement. But one idea that did carry through our whole trip is the idea of diverse voices. We heard an array of voices describing the monotheisms, the Egyptian revolutions, theology, Western versus Eastern cultures, and the Palestinian-Israeli conflict. From tour guides, our leaders, Linford and Janet, multitudes of lecturers, language teachers, people we met at random on the street, and each other. These voices sometimes enlightened and sometimes bewildered or angered us. Our presentation today attempts to show some of these perspectives and experiences. And then we've tried to bring about some way that we've made sense of all these voices. First, we're going to start with a poem that Louise wrote on the Jesus Trail, and this would have been in March, April.
Hello. So we hiked the Jesus Trail for a period of 4 days, and during this time, we were challenged physically with blisters and hiking up and down many mountains. But we were also challenged mentally as we put ourselves in Jesus' sandals and thought about different things that he may have thought about. During this time, I wrote the following poem. Behold ye EMU of this little riddle. This one is different though, and will have to make you think a little. For what I have to say next is not the same. Actually, it is quite the opposite of everything. Jesus never came down and saved all our sins. There was no blood of Jesus to save all our kins. Therefore, this Jesus trail was non-existent, and there was never built a path. No one felt the grace of Jesus or even of his wrath. People fight and bicker, they're selfish in their ways. They no longer go outside and feel the beauty of the sun's rays. The love of money and power precedes basic human interaction, for money is a more powerful attraction. People's hearts are hardened, flowers never grow. Where we saw a path, now a small mall shows. People wear fine jewelry, they always get their way, living in this bubble throughout the day to day. How crazy, how absurd, who would live like this, not even realizing the whole picture that they might miss? Thinking of these people makes me think a lot about myself and others, For we are all in Christ, sisters and brothers. Therefore, instead of moving forward, we should take a step back and learn how Jesus lived and what Jesus didn't lack. There are more important things than money and power, such as going out and seeing a beautiful blossoming flower. Nature has a lot to teach us if we would only listen to it, for it holds some of life's basic survival kits. So maybe this is why Jesus always went out into nature, for he didn't want to miss out on the bigger picture. And we stayed in a Bedouin camp in Wadi Rum for about 2 nights, and the following skit represents a typical night there.
So this is a poem that I wrote reflecting on being on cross-cultural, away from home, and the Israeli-Palestinian conflict with the wall. Separated, oceans between us, concrete between us, unable to swim, unable to climb, fear of drowning, fear of falling. The sharks are the policemen of the ocean. If I try to climb this wall, they will eat me alive. Their teeth like bullets to my chest. The separation, a shot to my heart. The barbed wires are like the sea urchins clenched to my skin. I am here, but I am limited. I wish to go, but I cannot swim. Through the concrete, to the other side, to see you, to meet you again. Maybe I will turn into a bird, and I will learn how to fly. Over the ocean, over the wall. Only with time, only with love, I will be home.
The following skit is going to depict a pretty regular experience while we were in Palestine. We took Arabic classes for 3.5 hour chunks at a time. And my particular teacher gave a very interesting view into differences in culture and how you interact with students and other people. And Bryce's portrayal is scarily accurate.
Sabah el Hair class. Please, Zach, would you repeat that?
Sabah.
Very good. Okay. Ah, Zachary Dove, please recite your numbers.
Sefer Wahad.
Please, faster.
Sefer Wahad Tanein Talate.
Very good. You know, the Arabic numbering system reminds me of a saying. Friends are like stars. You may not always see them, but you know that they are there. That reminds me of another saying. A husband without a wife is like a kitchen without a knife. Yes, Kate, would you like to contribute?
Excuse me, I kind of feel uncomfortable with that portrayal of the ideal home.
Oh. Do you have a boyfriend?
No.
But you are so beautiful! Gather ye rosebuds while ye may. Now, if you could please recite the Arabic saying for hospitality.
Il-bait-bait?
Il-bait-baitak! What does that mean?
Feel at home.
Feel at home! We will meet again in 15 minutes.
Hello. Zachary and I are representatives of the Middle East Cross-Cultural Statistic Collection and Processing Team. And we've been collecting data and we will give you a numerical portrait of our trip. Over the course of the semester, we crossed 9 borders and 3 continents. 13 hours across the Sinai and 16 hours across the Aegean Sea. One sketchy ferry ride. 8,342 pita consumed. 5,961 miles walked. Approximately 63 reported bouts of diarrhea. Exactly 9 1/4 inches of beard growth. 11 people in a taxi at once in downtown Cairo. 161 books read. 12,536 push-ups done. 2 Pope sightings. 7 changes of currency. 11 hookahs bought. 84 keffiyehs bought. Number of passports lost, 2. Number of churches visited, 35. Number of mosques, 12. Number of synagogues, 11. 3 Shabbat services attended. Number of other tourists in Egypt, 6. We had many different forms of transportation. Here are just a few. Ferry, sailboat, car, legal bus rides, metro, taxi, train, illegal bus rides, walking, running, camel, donkey, airplane, horse carriage, biking, mopeding, and sprinting. Boat across the Nile, the Red Sea, the Sea of Galilee, and the Aegean Sea. The number of monotheistic holy sites visited, all of them. Number of stray cats seen per day, 13. The number of times we changed our opinion on the Israeli-Palestinian conflict, still recalculating. Number of spontaneous hacky sack sessions, 84. Number of times Maddie Marshall and Maddie Clemens were seen separately, 2. Number of times people said, "Welcome to Alaska," in the middle of Jordan, 53. 5 new words created, including 28 references to gang tackling and 540 references to greed bag. 1 hospital visit. 1,700 journal pages written. 28 students along the trip. And 28 lives changed forever.
As I anticipated my trip, I was most excited for how my faith would grow. I thought that I was going to the places where the Bible took place and walk where Jesus walked, so my faith could only get stronger and become solid. It seemed simple enough. However, this was not the case. I embarked on a journey that was complicated and complex. I saw the poverty Egyptians faced and wondered where God was. I witnessed the brokenness from the Israeli-Palestinian conflict and wondered what God was doing. And I made friendships with Muslims and Jews and wondered about their practices. And during our time at Jerusalem University College, where we were in an intensive biblical geography course and visiting biblical sites, I found myself the most confused about my faith. But even during those times of question, I found an overwhelming sense of peace. My faith wasn't disappearing, it was becoming real. While in the city of Jerusalem, we had the opportunity to trace the steps of Jesus' crucifixion, starting at where he was questioned and ending at where he was hung on the cross. It was a very busy Saturday. I was being pushed and shoved as I was trying to embrace a holy moment. I was so frustrated during the walk and just happy when I was finally finished. But while discussing with our group, someone mentioned that this is probably similar to what Jesus had experienced. It was a crowded street as he was being crucified, with people going about their daily lives. It suddenly put everything into perspective. My faith journey on this trip wasn't easy like I thought it was going to be, but it was life-changing. I have learned just how awesome Jesus is and found, even in the brokenness, God is still present. After this trip, I am humbled and excited to see God in a new way. This trip didn't shake my faith. Instead, this trip made my faith concrete.
Another voice we've been influenced by this semester is that of our leaders, Linford and Janet. So we'd like to ask you up on stage right now to give you a proper appreciation. You've played an incredible role in making this experience so influential. Thank you just doesn't seem like enough, but we appreciate the way you always encourage us to ask the difficult questions, not giving us the answers, but allowing us to come to our own conclusions. Janet, I don't know where we would be without your daily prayers and encouragement. And Linford, thank you for your patience with us day in and day out. You both have taught us what it looks like to live out your faith, even if it sometimes means abandoning what's safe. You've taught us how to be travelers, and good ones at that. Thank you for the wisdom you've passed on to us. It's something we will all cherish. We could not have asked for better leaders. You've invested so much in us, and we love you both. May our Lord continue to bless you.
The next poem that we're going to share is from a skit that one of our groups did for our final project. It illustrates the theme of perception is reality and all these different perceptions that we met along the way, either on the Israeli side or the Palestinian side. They all believed that their view was true, and it was true for them, but it was the lack of truth on collectively allowing to see each other that a solution is so hard to come by.
Once an elephant came to a small town. People had read and heard of elephants, but no one in town had ever seen one. Thus, a huge crowd gathered around the elephant, and it was a great occasion. 5 blind men also lived in that town, and consequently, they also heard about the elephant. They had never seen an elephant before and were eager to find out about the elephant. Then, someone suggested that they could go and feel the elephant with their hands. They could then get an idea of what an elephant looked like. The 5 blind men went to the center of town, where all the people made room for them to touch the elephant. Later on, they sat down and began to discuss their experiences. One blind man, who had touched the trunk of the elephant, said that the elephant must be like a tree branch. Another, who touched the tail, said the elephant probably looked like a snake or a rope. The third man, who touched the leg, said the shape of the elephant must be like a pillar. The fourth man, who touched the ear, said that the elephant must be like a huge fan, while the fifth, who touched the side, said it must be a wall. They sat for hours and argued. Each one was sure that his view was correct. Obviously, they were all correct from their own point of view, but no one was quite willing to listen to the others. Finally, they decided to go to the wise man of the village and ask them who was correct. The wise man said, "Each one of you is correct, and each one of you is wrong, because each of you had only touched a part of the elephant's body. Thus, you only have a partial view of the animal. If you put your partial views together, you will get an idea of what an elephant looks like." This poem, as Jolie said, represents how we felt throughout hearing about the conflict. We heard a lot of different opinions and struggled to figure out how to put all of those voices together. The following storybook, written by a group in our class and illustrated by Stephanie, is how we made sense of it all. Following the skit, we're going to finish with a song, and then you're dismissed, but you're welcome to stay and watch our slideshow again.
There's a planet in the sky named Me. On it is a magical tree that grows for the stars for the creatures in the land. In this world, there are 2 kinds of monsters, the blues and the greens. The blues on the left and the greens on the right. The blues wear funny little hats, and the greens wear silly little scarves. Every day, the blues study the stars from their book, and once a week, run around all night catching stars in jars. The greens know the way of planting stars, and have been for generations. They plant 1 star and tend to it 5 times a day. Planted stars turn into glowing trees. Stars in jars give light to the left side of me. Both traditions give thanks to the magical tree for all it does. The blues and the greens, though, don't get along. They built a white fence, even though it was wrong. For they don't like each other and think the other is rather odd. The greens and the blues both claim the tree is on their side, so the monster's ideas often collide. Each side came up with a plan to bring the tree fully on their land. The monsters tied ropes and they tugged and they tugged. But the tree didn't budge. So they brought shovels and they dug and they dug. But the tree didn't move, they said with a shrug. So they tried one more time to get the tree to move on their side. They shouted at the tree. The blues read their books, and the greens shook their crooks. Unfortunately, because of all the fighting, they noticed the tree started dying. The fence cut so deep, the tree started to weep. And as the fence became thicker, it killed the roots quicker. And the two sides became concerned. They wished for the stars to return. The shouting got softer, and they realized their disaster. They stepped forward to answer the cry. The tree's request they could not deny, even though they won't ever see eye to eye. But for the greater good, to save the tree, they placed their disputes aside. The blues and the greens, hand in hand, tore down the divide. And forever lived side by side.
Thank you.